From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is a time of hope.
Watch and listen for the wonders of our God.
Our God is among us.
Watch and listen for the goodness of our God.
Our God lives among us.
Watch and listen for God is here.
Our God dwells among us.
Together we pray the prayer of the day for this, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. God the encourager, God the compassionate, God the merciful, holy, blessed. Rouse us from our sleep. Lift us into consciousness of your presence. Change us, move us, mold us for the better. So that at the sound of your voice, at the call of your name, we will never be the same. May this worship do this and so much more. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Our children's time this morning is led by Carla Clennon.
How is everybody? So, has your parents ever asked you to do something? Yeah. Did you do it? Are you sure you did it? Well, I see some little faces. Are you sure you did what you were asked? Well, today we're going to be talking about two brothers. Do you have a brother or do you have a sister? Sister, right here, yes. So today in our story, we have two brothers named John and William. And their dad went in one day and said, John, I need for you to go rake the leaves outside. And John says, Dad, I'm working on a model airplane and I want to get it done today. I don't have time to go outside and rake the leaves. So then he went into William's room. And he said, William, would you go rake the leaves outside and put them in trash bags? And William says, sure, Dad, I'll go do that. So later on, Dad went into town, and John got to thinking. He said, I think I could do both. I could go rake the leaves that Dad asked me to do, and I could get my model airplane done by the end of the day. But William, he just sat there and wanted to watch TV. He didn't get off the couch. So when Dad got home, who do you think was outside raking the leaves?
John.
John was outside because he thought he better go rake the leaves. So in our scripture lesson today, we have two brothers, and their dad asked them to go work in a vineyard. Does anybody know what a vineyard is? It's where they have grapes and they make wine. So he asked his sons, would you go out and pull some grapes? And one of the sons said, no, Dad, I will not go. And the other son, sure, Dad, I'll go. So who do you think went out then?
The first one,
because he said that he didn't want to do it, but then he thought about it, and he thought he better go do what his dad asked him. So always remember to do what your parents ask. Even if you don't want to do it, we all don't want to do a lot of things, but we will always do it. So let's bow for a prayer. Father, sometimes we say yes, but our actions say no. Help us to be faithful to do what we can. You've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our anthem this morning, In Remembrance of Me, is presented by our senior choir, directed by Stacy Frederick. Gospel reading from Matthew 21, our interim minister, Reverend Gene Maul, presents his sermon, What Pleases God?
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Jesus said to them, I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? And they argued with one another, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What then do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second son and said the same. And he answered, I go. But he did not. Which of these two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and prostitutes are going to the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. The Gospel of our Lord. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of us go through life trying to please people. Doesn't make any difference whether we're a spouse or a child, a parent, a teacher, a student, a friend, people we work with, or casual acquaintances. We know we may err along the way, but we try to please. And when we err, our relationships of life may need reconciliation, restoration, and renewal. We call those the three R's, not reading, writing, and arithmetic, but reconciliation and restoration and renewal. We work hard at trying to please people. But what does it take to please God? What pleases God? Or dare we even ask that question? We say that because we emphasize so much that it is the grace of God that propels our lives. Our theology may have more of the old Rock of Ages hymn that says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to the cross I cling." And it would seem that what pleases God is then what he does for us. What he does for us. But having said this, we do recall the Old Testament does remind us that we shall love the Lord with God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And we should love our neighbor as ourselves. We even call that the golden rule. But the readings for today tantalize us with that question, what pleases God? Think of that first reading from Ezekiel. There were some interesting challenges there. These people, as we recall, have been hauled off into exile in Babylon. They were not exactly following God's ways. God was not pleased, to say the least. And so they were far away from their beloved city of Jerusalem, where they felt God sat enthroned. Was God really still with them? Can God really be with us when we are so far away from that holy city and that holy temple? See, the experience of having God's presence in their lives was challenged. They used to say, "We are the sons of Abraham and Sarah, of Isaac and Rebekah, of Jacob and Rachel." And that covenant seemed to be, that relationship was challenged. The credentials were no longer just those of their ancestors. They soon discovered that they cannot live in the past. Now they were accountable as individuals, each one alone, and they felt lost. It was almost like, "Where are we?" they would say. Think of it this way. I want to take your minds back a few years right now to the early 70s. You know, at that time, there was no GPS. There were no cell phones, no internet. And there was a geography professor who just had fun with his family. He always said, "Let's go out for an afternoon ride on Sunday," and he would choose a destination. And then he would give the road map to one of his daughters and say, "Get us there. Get us there." Well, they didn't always get there. Sometimes they ended up at some other city somewhere else. It was like if he was wishing to go to the Lake of the Ozarks, why are we entering Kansas City? Kind of thing. Well, that seemed to be the problem with the time of Ezekiel. The people all thought that they were some of the righteous ones, and they wished to be in Jerusalem, and they said, "What are we doing in Babylon?" The problem was that they were turning away from their righteousness of God. And now they felt abandoned and they holler, "Unfair, unjust. The way of the Lord is unfair." Well, Ezekiel's words to them were, through God, "O house of Israel, are my ways unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? My roadmap for your lives is okay, spot on. But you are not reading it. The map is not unfair. Follow it and you will get to where you are to go. It's just like the roadmap to get to the lake was okay. It just was not read right." See, repent from your evil ways and you will live, he would say to them. The righteousness of God is like a plumb line then. It's always great. It's always right. It's always true. But here the question is, do we wish to live in the shadow of his righteousness? Or do we wish to live in the shadow of our own transgressions? We need to get ourselves a new heart, a new spirit. Turn then and live was the message of the day. So when we live in the shadow of his righteousness, then we live in a way that pleases God, for we strive to do his will. If we try to do it in the lives we live, in the way we worship and praise him. So the whole roadmaps of our life change for us. Even for the children of Israel, it took 50 years, but they finally came back from exile to Jerusalem and their promised land again. And God said, okay, now let's go again. Well, Matthew is another case in point in our gospel for today. There were some people there who also were following the wrong roadmap through life. They questioned Jesus' authority on doing these miracles. Well, let's take a look at the larger context and see what's happening right before this text. Jesus was entering Jerusalem as a humble king. The crowds were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the palm branches were waving and they were bringing him in. At the same time, some in the city were asking, who is this? And the crowd answered, this is the prophet, Jesus of Nazareth. And then Jesus enters the temples and he drives out the sellers and buyers and he overturns the tables. And apparently while Jesus was in that temple, the blind and the lame came to him and he healed them. Well, these miracles, along with these children crying, Hosanna to the Son of David, caused these chief priests and scribes to become a bit angry. And given the deeds of that previous day, it seems only natural that they would come to Jesus and question him. And Jesus said, well, let me ask you a question first and then I'll answer. You know, by what authority did John Baptist do these things? And well, they were afraid to answer. If we say by God's authority, oops, that's a problem. If I say by not by his authority, that's a problem. So we say, we don't know. And Jesus said, okay, we got you. They were afraid to answer. But while we are at it, let's just take a look at your record. Is that okay? What is your relationship of doing God's will? And then there was that parable where the father had the grapes were ready. We seem to be in vineyards. We were in vineyards last week. We're in vineyards again today. And he said, can you go out and work in the vineyard? And one said, no, I can't. But in the end, he thinks about it and he says, well, I better do that, yes. And the other one said, yes, I'll gladly go out. And he probably hid behind a barn somewhere until the day was over and never did make it out there. Which one did the will of the Father? Well, they said the first one. See, the latter one knew God's righteousness, but he did not live by it. And when he was looking those scribes and Pharisees in the eye, all of a sudden, you know, they realized, whoops, I think he's talking about us at that point. The first one objected to it, but came around and followed the will. It reminds me of a confirmation student in my earlier life. I told my confirmation kids, I'm going to be talking about one of my previous students, and here it is. I would give her an assignment, or the class an assignment, and she would every week look at me and say, must we? Must we? And then the next week would come, and the whole assignment was always done. Always done, see? Must we? But it was always done. See, the primary point of the parable is about having a change of heart, not just about saying or doing the right things. We find that both sons really needed to change. Let me give you a story that might illustrate this point. Once there were two couples, and couple A was married in a large, beautiful church. Great ceremony. They pledged lifelong faithfulness and love for each other in a moving word of their vows. However, their life together had been one of total abuse, both physical and verbal. Their marriage was totally on the rocks. Couple B lived together. They had no public ceremony. They signed no marriage license. They spoke no vows in the presence of witnesses. However, their life together was a loving and affirming relationship, and they had remained faithful to each other. Well, which couple would you say was doing the will of God? Well, we get stuck a little bit and we say, really, both needed to have a change of heart. Couple A had to change in the way they acted toward each other. And couple B may have had to change in their attitudes about the importance of those words in a public ceremony. So even the boy who said no and did the work had a change of heart. And that's the thing Jesus was striving for and warning the people about. And that goes for us today as well. There's a good clue in what pleases God from that second reading from Philippians. Those words that said, "Let the same mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and in California and in this church, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Then, having this example and living close to his righteousness, we find that's what pleases God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Today, being a communion Sunday, we continue with the next hymn, during which the offering will be received. Through this offering, we pool together the resources of every person gathered here. In the name of Jesus, who gives and saves and shows us the way, let us give and show others Christ's way by the gifts we give. O Master, let me walk with thee in lonely paths of service free. Help me, strain of toil, bread of care. Help me the slow heart to me. Thyself. For our closing hymn, Bring Forth the Kingdom, we have some parts here for all of us to sing. And that is, I have a leader part here, you are the salt of the earth, and then you will come in on that second part, salt for the kingdom of God. I have the leader part again, you all sing again, and then everybody sings the refrain on these verses. We'll have a lot of fun at this. You are salt for the earth, O people, salt for the kingdom of God. Share the flavor of life, O people, life for the kingdom of God. Bring forth the kingdom of mercy, bring forth the kingdom of peace, bring forth the kingdom of justice, bring forth the city of God. You are a light on the hill, O people, light for the city of God. Shine so holy and bright, O people, for the kingdom of God. Bring forth the kingdom of mercy, bring forth the kingdom of peace, bring forth the kingdom of justice, bring forth the city of God. You are a seed of the word, O people.
Bring forth the kingdom of God.
Seeds of mercy and seeds of justice.
Grow
in the kingdom of God. Bring forth the kingdom of mercy. Bring forth the kingdom of peace. Bring forth the kingdom of justice. Bring forth the city of God. We are a blessed and a pilgrim people, bound for the kingdom of God. Love our journey and love our homeland, love the kingdom of God. Bring forth the kingdom of mercy, bring forth the kingdom of peace, bring forth justice, bring forth the God. The sweet Spirit of God has blessed us. Let us give thanks. The great Spirit of God will guide us. Let us give thanks. The humble Spirit of God is with us. Let us give thanks. And may the blessed eternal Trinity grant you the peace the world cannot give, now and forevermore. Amen.
Glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.